I want to talk to you this morning about a very interesting subject that came to me Friday, actually. Just all of a sudden, this just dropped on the inside of me, empowering Satan. Empowering Satan. And I've been thinking about that ever since. You know, in Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, "All authorities given to him in heaven and in earth." And so if he has all authority, then that leaves Satan with no authority, right? But then Jesus gave away his authority. You see this in John 16, where he's given the body of Christ power of attorney, which is the authority to operate. And we also know that man's dominion gives him authority, just in your physical body, that gives you authority to operate in her. Well, Satan has a problem. He doesn't have a physical body, and he doesn't have spiritual authority. And so he needs those in order to accomplish what he wants to accomplish, to get his desire fulfilled on earth. In John chapter 8, if you want to turn there, verse 44, Jesus, doing the speaking to the religious people, said, "You are of your father Satan, and the desires of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth," or did not stand with the truth, "because there's no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own self. He is a liar and the father of it." Now I want to go back and draw your attention to, he was a murderer from the beginning. So if you want to turn to Genesis chapter 4, and let's look at a couple verses there, verses 7 and 8, Genesis chapter 4. You know the setting with Cain and Abel, how Abel was a keeper of sheep, Cain a tiller of the ground. Verse 3 says, "In the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect to Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, you will be accepted. If you do not do well, sin is lurking at the door. And his sin desires to rule over you," rule over sin. Well, we know Cain didn't do that. Verse 8 says, "Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother and killed him." All right, that's Satan's murder right there. He's a murderer from the beginning. How did he do it? He had to have a body to do it with, didn't he? He had to influence someone to carry out his will. Now, I want you to note that he's working against the seed of God, Abel. And so he's getting that out of the way. Satan always works against God's seed. Now, you understand, I mean, it's not that he loves anybody. And it's not that he's doing anything in the best interest of anybody, but he will bait people to trap them, give them something they think they want, not knowing that it's going to be to the detriment in the end. You know, in First Chronicles, I'm just going to give you a few scriptures here, and then we'll let the Spirit of God tie all this together, okay? But in 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 1, it says, Satan stood up against Israel. And he influenced David to number them. Why? Because ultimately there's going to be a consequence to David numbering Israel. And we know that several thousand people lost their lives. Murderer. So who was the culprit? Satan. But he needed the power to do it. And so without realizing what he was doing, Cain gave him power. David gave him power or authority. And so Satan's will is getting carried out in earth. Then if you look in Acts chapter 5, the setting here is where the Christians are being persecuted, and so there's lack, and people are, the true believers are selling things that they have, property they have, and they're bringing it to the apostles and let them distribute, so no one is actually going without. And then we pick up on this narrative of Ananias and Sapphira, and it says in verse 1, chapter 5 of Acts, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira's wife had sold a possession, sold a piece of property. They sold it for one price, but they told Peter they sold it for another price. So what they're doing is they're keeping back some money for themselves. For instance, if the property sold for $5,000, they told Peter $4,000. Now don't use those figures. They're just hypothetical, okay? And so they're keeping back a certain amount of money. Well, the property was theirs. They could have kept all the money. That's not the issue. Okay? Now, it goes on to say that he kept back part of the price. His wife's also being a party of it. She's aware of what's going on. And they brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, now note this, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the peace of the land? He's a liar. He's the father of lies. And so he's influenced Ananias to lie. Okay? Peter said, while it remained, in other words, while the property remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was the money not in your power, your authority? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You've not lied to men, but to God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and died. And great fear came on all those who heard the things. And as the story goes on, his wife comes in. Peter said, did you sell the land for this much money? Yep. She lied too. And what happened? Satan killed two more. You with me? Satan's out to get you, not to get you for your good, but he's out to destroy you. Now here's the interesting thing about it. We're the ones that gives him the power to do it. We empower Satan. And then we complain about the end results. God has given us authority in the name of Jesus. God has given us the power of the Holy Spirit. But what are we doing with the authority that God's given us? What are we doing with the power that God's given us? You with me? There's another person in the scriptures I'll just mention. You've heard of Balaam, who was hired by Balak to curse Israel. But God wouldn't let him. And so Balak lost some money over that. Balaam lost some money over that because Balak was going to pay him. And he sent him home. And so we don't get all the detail of what went on, but evidently Balaam's thinking he's being influenced by the devil. And so ultimately he gives counsel to Moab and tells them, you know, I couldn't curse them, but I'm going to tell you how to get them. I'm going to tell you what will bring about their demise. Intermingle with them. start intermarrying and influence them to serve your gods. And in Numbers chapter 31 and verse 16, you'll see this, that it was through Balaam's counsel that this woman did this, and he was ultimately killed too. I'm telling you, Satan's a murderer. He'll murder the one he's using. And he'll get him to murder other people. After he's done his job, he'll get rid of you. Okay? After you've done your job. And so don't ever think that things of the world are for your benefit. They're out to destroy you. And this is the way this thing works. It works through, this is how Satan works. This is how we empower him to take over our lives and do all these crazy things that people do. It's through influence to say or influence you to an action, to do something. Many of you know that slanders of the devil, murders of the devil, stealings of the devil, lyings of the devil. What causes people to do these things? Influence. He makes a suggestion through a thought. A thought will come into you. And when you yield to that thought, you just empower him. And now he's out to slander, to assassinate the character of somebody, or instilling to take something that belongs to someone else, in lying, just, you know, falsifying evidence. I mean, look at this nation right now. What happened? They yielded to lies. This nation's yielded to lies for many years, many generations, under the influence of the devil. You with me? But we won't go there. We'll talk about the church. What caused the religious people to crucify the Messiah? Influence? Lying? What are they doing? Satan wants the one that's going to defeat him out of the way. So he plots and he has his scheme, not knowing that his plot and plan is his own destruction. You understand? And so he influences religious people to carry out his plans through thinking. Get you jealous of somebody. You understand they were jealous of Jesus. He was drawing bigger crowds. He was doing greater things. They couldn't stop him, so they said, we've got to get him out of the way. We've got to kill him. Where's that influence coming from? Coming from Satan. And so those religious people who are looking for the Messiah empower Satan to kill the Messiah. Sort of paradoxical, isn't it? Well, it hasn't changed over the years. He still does the same thing. Still following the same pattern. There's not a person in this room that has not at one time or many times in your life empowered the devil. Anybody want to tell me you've never done anything you shouldn't have done? If you tell me that, I know you've empowered him now. You understand? Every one of us have been guilty of carrying out Satan's plan in some form or other. Well, maybe not. Maybe we didn't commit murder. Or we didn't rob a bank. You ever told a lie? Don't go there. Don't even answer. And there's no such thing as white lies. Okay? Have you ever cheated anybody? Have you ever stolen anything? Shot towel, pencil? We get there where the rubber meets the road, okay? You know what you're doing? You're giving place to the devil. Now, that every one of these things comes through a thought. All right? And then 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. What are our weapons? Our weapons are the ability to control our thinking with the Word of God and the Spirit of God, okay? And so he says, tear down strongholds. Well, how did the stronghold get there? Who's Satan? Having influence over your life. It starts from the time you're born. And parents are playing right into the hands of the devil, empowering their children, subjecting them to witchcraft and all this other kind of ungodly stuff. Not even understanding it. They think it's cute. It looks good. But what are you doing? You're giving Satan power. And then you wonder why this one turned out this way, this one turned out that way. Well, what do you expect? The devil's not going to turn out good people. He'll turn out people who will try to make themselves look good. Just like he appears as an angel of light. His ministers appear as ministers of righteousness. And so he'll have things on the surface looking good. But you got to peel it back. Jesus looks at the heart of everything, not the surface. And he sees what the heart of a person is. Who put it in Peter's heart to deny Jesus? Who put it in the heart of all the disciples to run away when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane? Who put it in the heart of Judas to betray Jesus? You understand why Satan's called a murderer and a liar? There is absolutely no truth in him. And if you follow any influence, you're following the influence of a liar, who is ultimately doing that to hurt someone and in the end hurt you. You follow me? And it comes about so subtle that you don't even recognize it if you don't start thinking about what am I thinking? Have you ever stopped to think, what am I thinking? I've done things and I look back and I think, what was I thinking? That was stupid. None of you have never done that, right? Of course you have. Given power to the devil. You look at how many kids' lives are taken by drugs. It started with a thought. They gave place. What did that do? It gave Satan the power to kill them. You with me? That's exactly what happened with Adam. Adam, yielding to Satan's suggestion that came through his wife, empowered Satan to kill him and all the human race. You understand, death wasn't there until Adam disobeyed God. God is wanting us to become very conscious of our thought life. He said, tearing down those strongholds. Then he said, casting down imaginations. Where do imaginations take place? In your thought, right? But he didn't stop there. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that is contrary to the Word of God, you have to get rid of that, or you're following the influence of the devil, which will give him the power to carry out whatever that desire may be. You follow me? Then he said, capture every thought. Every thought. Every thought. Well, I think I'll think about this for a while. It'll take you down. Do you know that oppression comes through thinking? Depression comes through excessive thinking. You with me? And so if you don't entertain the thoughts, you can stop Satan from having power and control and authority in your life. You can shut off his authority in you by not yielding to his suggestions. But the church has empowered Satan for years. Believe us rather than the Word of God. Let us tell you what the Scriptures say. Let us give you a private interpretation of the Scriptures. You don't need to read that. You need to listen to me. I've actually heard preachers say that before. I'm thinking, if you don't want me to read the Scriptures, buddy, you're trying to deceive me. If you're afraid for me to check you out with the Word of God, then you're trying to deceive me. That's how Satan works. Lies, deception, and it all comes through the thought life. And so we sit around and think, and we're given power to the devil. Actions are thought before they're carried out. You understand? It doesn't matter what it is. God warned Cain. God warns us. Cain didn't pay any attention. Why? He's thinking. He's not thinking, God didn't accept my sacrifice. Why? He's thinking, God accepted Abel's sacrifice. I'll kill him. I'll get him out of the way. God chose him over me. The age-old story. People get jealous because someone was selected over them. Well, it's against the law to kill today, so what do? They just assassinate their character. Try to slander them. Try to make somebody else look bad that's excelling. Thinking that's going to make them look good. But in reality, it just reveals you for who you are. Under the influence of the devil. God never slandered anybody. As a matter of fact, when arguing for the body of Moses, Michael said, did not bring a railing accusation. That simply means Michael did not slander Satan. He just said, the Lord rebuke you. God's not even slandering Satan. But born-again believers are slander one another. Why? They're under the influence of the devil. They're given the devil power to divide the church. Why would he want to do that? Because the united church will walk all over him. And so he has to infiltrate people. And he does that through thinking. We give him power. You with me? Now do you understand this empowering Satan? We're actually giving him the authority to use us to carry out his will. That's the only way he can carry out his will is through a human being. That's why he likes possession. But if I can't get possession, then I'll take depression, oppression, obsession, influence. I'll use whatever. Ever how much they give me, that's what I'll use. If they won't totally yield to me, I'll just take the part they will yield to me. And that's why we're in the mess we're in today in the world. That's why we're in the mess today we're in the church. Because people are listening to wrong thoughts. Meditating on the wrong thing. Meditation can be a very positive thing or it can be a very negative thing. People that take their life meditated on it before they did it. They didn't just think, I'll just kill myself. No, they thought about it. Probably everyone in this room at some point in time has had that thought. You'd just be better off. You just got out of here. But you were wise enough not to stay there. But if you start dwelling on that, dwelling on it and thinking about it and thinking about it, then you'll start finding what's the best way to do it. And how do I do this? How do I do that? And you just start planning your own death. Not even understanding that all that's coming from the devil, from the murderer, from the father of lies. We say a man took his life. Why? Because he empowered Satan. Satan's the murderer. Do you understand? So he had to influence that person to do it or to take someone else's life. We have so many false doctrines floating around out here. How did they get there? Thought was put in somebody's mind. People have a bad experience and then they want to bash a particular group because they had a bad experience. But just because one person's bad doesn't mean everybody's bad. Just like one good person doesn't mean ever all the people are good. That's why we're all to be led by the Spirit of God, aren't we? God wants us to get on top of our thinking and take the power away. Take the authority away from the devil. The authority you've been given to him, take it back. You understand? Bad temper, demonic influence. Any addiction, demonic influence. You follow? It's just, you're playing right into the hands of the devil, and what's his ultimate goal? He's a murderer. His ultimate goal is to get you out of here. Because as long as you're on earth and you're not yielding to him, you're a threat. But if he can get you to yield to him, he'll do everything he can with you and then kill you. But he's not planning on sparing anyone alive. But thank God death will ultimately be defeated. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. That's the last enemy to be put underfoot. We're going to have to get our thinking right. And I want to show you how subtle this is. People start getting a certain age. It can be 30, it can be 50, it can be 70. That's not the number. They think, I'm getting older. You know, as they get older, a lot of them start planning to die. Making funeral arrangements and all this before they, long before they die, years before they die, even pay their, you know, already had it paid for. Well, that's noble in that they want to take that burden off of the family, but I want you to look at who's influencing it. Many years ago, the Lord said, I want you to start teaching my people to live. They're preparing to die. I want you to teach them to live. Get the mentality in you, I'm going to live forever. Because you is not the body. You is the occupant. But if you start thinking about dying, now you're in the natural arena instead of the spiritual arena. Playing right into the hand of the devil. When you step over into the natural arena, you're under the influence of the devil. You call it anything you want to. Whether it comes through movies, songs, jokes, whatever. You get in that natural arena, you're under the influence of the devil. And what happens? You're empowering him. And those things will influence your thinking. which will take you in a wrong direction. You can become a sarcastic person, bitter. Boy, the list goes on, you understand. Why? Wrong thinking. You're not thinking like God. God loves the world. Satan hates the world. God loves you. Satan hates you. You've got to get that established. And say, all right, I've been yielding and yielding and yielding. I'm going to start taking back territory. And instead of entertaining this thought, we're going to capture the thought and bring this thing down to where Satan loses his authority in our lives. Amen. You get the message. I mean, it's real basic, very basic. The only authority that Satan has is what we give him. And the reason we give him authority is because he influences our thinking and he gets us agreeing with him. Now, that principle works the other way. What if we think like God thinks? Then we'll carry out the acts that God wants us to carry out. We'll be thinking positively, not negatively. We'll be doing right by people. Love will cover a multitude of sin instead of exposing everything. The very opposite. You with me? Let's just make a determination not to play into the hands of the devil. Let's take the power away. Jesus gave us authority. Let's not give it up. Let's maintain the authority that's been given to us. Amen? Well, that's the message. I mean, we can go on and on, but I think you've got the point. Thank you that you bless us indeed, you enlarge our territory, your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you flee before you. Amen. Now, I gave you guys a break.